final speaker is Rodney Croom. Rodney has a long history in gay and lesbian rights. As a spokesperson for the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group, he led the campaign to decriminalise homosexuality in Tasmania. The campaign saw Tasmanian activists take their case for equality to the Tasmanian Parliament, the United Nations, the Federal Government and to the High Court. Currently, Rodney is a member of Tasmania's five LGBT Community Government Liaison Committees, a board member of the International Lesbian and Gay Law Association, the Equal Rights Network, Rights Australia, and the Tasmanian LGBT support organisation Working It Out. In recognition for his work, Rodney has received a number of honours, including a member of the Order of Australia in 2003. It's my great pleasure to ask Rodney to speak to us today.
Thanks very much, John. Hi, everyone. John, actually, it wasn't my intention to talk about Tasmania today. I think in your opening remarks you mentioned that I might. But I can certainly see the importance of the Tasmanian story as I was sitting there listening to the other speakers. As some of you will remember, the very acrimonious debate on the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Tasmania in the 1990s meant that the love that dare not speak its name became the love that just couldn't shut up. And that very pervasive debate meant that when that reform was finally achieved in 1997, it was as if, to use a Tasmanian metaphor, a dam had burst and outflowed a whole new world of legislation, including, of course, the Tasmanian Relationships Act, that addresses many of the kind of issues we're talking about today at a state level, in the same way they've been addressed in most of the other states, with the addition of a relationship registry that allows same-sex and other couples to confirm their rights in law. And, of course, the most important point there is that the sky hasn't fallen in Tasmania, the mountains haven't collapsed into the sea, and everything's still much the same, except that Tasmanians are quite proud of the fact that we have moved forward to this greater position of equity. You could walk the streets of Burnie today and not really find anyone who will speak against these new laws. And I think that's a lesson, not just for Tasmania, but for the nation. I'll return to that lesson in a moment, that lesson of feeling pride in our achievements. But first I'll turn to, again, a couple of individual stories, like the other stories that we've heard today. I'll never forget the pain in Greg Brown's eyes as he recounted the moment he discovered he would not receive his late male partner's superannuation, despite being the nominated beneficiary. In that one awful moment, the provisions Greg and his partner had made for Greg's life as a widower, as he called it, collapsed. Greg channeled his pain into action and appealed to the federal court. He lost, but the profile of his case put the superannuation entitlements of same-sex couples at the cutting edge of national gay and lesbian law reform. It was no coincidence, I think, that in 2004, when the Prime Minister sought to give substance to his stated opposition to anti-homosexual discrimination, super was the issue he began to act on. The pain I saw in Greg's eyes, I saw again some years later in the eyes of Trish and Angela, two women I know from Hobart, then living in Melbourne. Trish loved her job as an aeronautical electrician with the RAAF, but it threatened to tear her family apart because she'd been ordered to Darwin. In the absence of personal and financial support to relocate, the kind of support her heterosexual colleagues took for granted, Trish couldn't expect Ange to quit her job or Ange's daughter to move schools. So Trish left the ABF. It was cases like Trish's which inspired the president of the Tasmania RSL, Ian Kennett, to raise reform with the RSL national executive. I think this was in 2002. In his words, he'd never paid much thought to gay rights, but that all changed when he encountered ridicule, ignorance and fear from some of his mates in the RSL. "I don't know how you blokes put up with it," he said to me once. He certainly didn't. With a stubbornness I've seen in quite a few Vietnam veterans, Ian pushed equality until his colleagues began to seriously consider and then even support it. Over dinner late last year, the RSL chiefs told the Prime Minister of their new position. "If you fellas are happy with it, I'm happy with it," he reportedly responded. Soon after, the discrimination that had cost Trish her job and the ADF her talents vanished. I have an unshakable faith that the Australian soul is shot through by a profound devotion to fairness. I also believe few examples of unfairness have the potential to stir that devotion more than the one we are here today to highlight. But it's been very hard to bring these two things together. Progress has been so slow that Australia has fallen behind most other Western countries. That's why I began today with examples of discrimination against same-sex couples which have been tackled, where the discrimination has been removed. How this happened holds valuable lessons for the conduct and outcome of this inquiry and for the achievement of reform more broadly. Australia's aspiration to fairness is stirred by practicality, not abstraction. A personal story of hardship means more to most ordinary Australians than 100 high-flown moral or legal principles. This inquiry must, and I'm sure it will, put those stories first, second and last. A feature of its pragmatism is that Australian-style fairness loathes inconsistencies and loves uniformity. If Trish was still in the RAF, the military would relocate her family. But because equality for same-sex couples has yet to be extended to public sector superannuation schemes, Ange couldn't be her beneficiary. Certainly not in the way that Trish can be Angela's beneficiary, because Angela works in the private sector. Highlight those kinds of anomalies, and we're halfway home. Present the human dimension of discrimination in this down-to-earth way, and equality will attract the most unlikely, the staunchest, and for both reasons, the most valuable allies. Ian Kennett is one, the fiercely heterosexual, former crocodile hunter, Warren Entsch, is another. My hope is that this inquiry will inspire others to follow in their footsteps by allowing room for their stories too. Australian fairness isn't infinitely magnanimous. It has limits, and one of those limits is heavy-handed international comparisons. I know this from personal experience. Many Australians are so sensitive to their nation appearing backward that they shut down when they discover it is. I might find it compelling that we're at the bottom of the gay law reform, the international gay law reform list, below even Belize and Bulgaria, but point that out to many Australians and all they see are pink arm banners. An even more important limit is reached when tales of hardship become catalogues of complaint. My point is not that this inquiry should camouflage the deep discrimination and disadvantaged same-sex couples continue to experience. It's that for each instance of disadvantage, there is an equally compelling example of bravery in the face of adversity, and of love triumphing over prejudice. No one likes a whinger, but everyone loves heroes. Heroes like Greg, Trish and Ian. Heroes like Edward, who's here with us today. Heroes like all those gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender people, our families, friends and allies, who have endured and resisted discrimination with dignity and patience. Sure that the day will come when we will be required to endure and resist no more. Today, thanks to the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission, that day is closer than ever. Just before I give up the lectern, I'd like to take one more moment of your time this morning just to pay the briefest tribute to Danny Sandor, who died in Melbourne just over a week ago. Danny was a passionate and formidable advocate for gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender legal equality, both in his work for the former Chief Justice of the Family Court, Alastair Nicholson, and more broadly in Australian law and public policy. I think Danny would have been very, very proud that his nation is embarking on this new adventure in the long struggle for sexual equality. And he would have scoffed at the suggestion that his work helped bring us to this point. But of course, it did. Thank you, Danny. Thank you.